Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. All right, so if the Democrats have their way, they would try to get Mitch McConnell once again to buckle on raising the debt ceiling. Conflicting reports whether he will aid or help or support, whether he will slow down the process, as people like Senator Mike Lee would have him do. Then questions about Build Back Better, New Green Deal socialism. I gave you all the numbers from Penn and Wharton and other places yesterday. The real cost of the bill when you don't use accounting tricks is more that 1.75 trillion is really 4.5, 4.8 trillion. And yet again, nobody's calling out the real numbers. We are. That's why Democrats always claim the CBO is the gold standard. It's not so much anymore. They don't even want the bill scored. Let me play for you Mitch McConnell. Now, again, he said it the last time in September, before September, for 2 months, that he wouldn't help Schumer raise the debt ceiling, but he did. Here's what he said this time.
I don't think shutting down the government over this issue is going to get an outcome. It would only create chaos and uncertainty. So I don't think that's the best vehicle to get this job done. I think the courts are likely to get it done or will pass early next week, freestanding, a measure to overturn the government mandate.
Just to put a fine point, you're saying you can avert a shutdown or not, sir?
Yeah, we're not going to shut the government down. That makes no sense for anyone. Almost no one on either side thinks that's a good idea.
Okay, so that's what he says. Lindsey Graham talked about the actual cost of Build Back Better. A lot of the information we passed on to you yesterday, at least somebody in Washington has caught up with it. And here's Lindsey Graham.
Person at home. If these programs don't go away, which they never do, then the debt that we absorb through passing Build Back Better will be 2.6, 2.7, 2.8. And the actual cost of the bill is, in your view, about 4.8, and in your view, over 4 trillion, right?
Yeah, about 4.5.
Okay. So the truth of the matter here is, and see if I've got this right. If you look at these programs over a 10-year period, not three, not two, not one, you come up with a deficit of about 2.7 trillion. Is that right? Is that right for you? So what I want the American people to know, that the bill that's written is not the bill you're going to pay for. The bill you're going to pay for is going to be almost 10 times larger than the numbers we're dealing with here today, because the game we play here in Washington. You were asked at Wharton to assume these programs don't go away, and you came up with almost the same number you came up with in terms of adding to the deficit.
Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina joins us now. How are you, sir?
Well, I am good, and I appreciate you're the only guy in the whole friggin' country talking about this. So let me tell you why it's important, Sean, and thank you for giving me the time to talk about it. Build Back Better was scored by the Congressional Budget Office, and their score said it cost $1.635 trillion, and it would add $367 billion to the deficit. Well, that assumes that the child tax credit will expire after a year. They wrote the bill so the child tax credit would expire after 1 year. The earned income tax credit would expire after 1 year. 17 different new programs would expire between 1 and 5 years. Well, the truth of the matter is, I'll be in the MBA before these programs expire. President Reagan said the closest thing to immortality on earth is a government program. So the whole damn bill is a fraud. It is a budget gimmick. So here's what happened. Wharton Business School and a bipartisan budget group looked at the bill as if the programs didn't expire. They went on for 10 years, and they found that the true cost of the bill is not $1.635 trillion, it's $4.7 trillion over 10 years. It doesn't add $367 billion to the deficit if these programs expire, which they will. It adds $2.8 trillion. So I've got a commitment from the CBO, the gold standard, to do exactly what Wharton and the bipartisan group did, score the bill as if the programs do not expire, which they won't, and that will come out a week from this Friday. It will be a game changer, and I want the American people to know this whole damn thing is a fraud. It's a lie that the true cost of this bill is well over $4.5 trillion, and the effect on the deficit is $2.7 to $2.8 trillion, not $367 billion. And I hope Joe Manchin and others will use this if the CBO comes out with these numbers as a way to stop this train.
There's now a lot of talk, and I got a text message from Senator Mike Lee last night that and Mitch McConnell, while he might not do what he did in September, and that is vote for the extension of the, in other words, not have the government shut down and the debt ceiling, et cetera, he would just get out of the way and not use every procedural tool available to him to make it very, very hard for the Democrats to do it. And the argument being, well, there's a lot of work to do before Christmas. Well, that's not really the American people's fault. And I think considering that Republicans have been shut out of the budget process completely,
right,
they have no input at all. The Democrats have both the House and the Senate, and they have the White House. They don't need a single Republican to help them. Why would we not use every tool available to us to slow them down and stop it and not give them more time to work out the obvious differences that clearly exist between, say, Manchin and Sinema and the progressive squad that runs the House?
Yeah, so I think the point here is that the Democrats have spent all this money by themselves, right?
Correct.
You know, all of these bills have been the new round of spending has come from Democratic-only reconciliation process. So here's what Mike Lee, Lindsey Graham, and every other Republican believes. You did the spending by yourself. You need to raise the debt limit by yourself. So I'll make a prediction. I didn't say this last time, but I'm going to say it this time. And we screwed up last time. Not one Republican.
And you said it at the time. You were one of a few, but you said it.
Yeah, I said, I'm sorry. We screwed up. We made a commitment.
But you did, by the way, you were not a part of that screw.
No, I was not. But we had 10 of my colleagues that found themselves in a bad spot. Well, we're not going to do that again. We're not going to provide aid and comfort to the Democrats to provide votes to raise the debt ceiling. They're going to have to do it by themselves through reconciliation. One thing you can do is shorten the period of time, but they have to vote to raise the debt ceiling without a Republican vote. That's important to me because they're doing all the spending by themselves. They can bear the burden of the debt by themselves. But most importantly, they've got to put a number down. The benefit of doing it this way, making them do it by themselves, is they deserve to do it by themselves. But having put a number down will tell the American people the true cost of these bills. And the number they're going to have to put down is going to change because I, as ranking member of the Budget Committee, as the senior Republican on the Budget Committee, I've been at war with CBO. Why can't you do what Wharton and the bipartisan group did? Why can't you score this bill based on reality? These programs are not going to sunset. They're going to stay in being, and not one Democrat wants them to sunset. This is a gimmick to lower the cost of the bill. Well, once you remove these gimmicks, the amount of money we're going to spend is going to be well over $4.5 trillion, not $1.6, and the amount of debt we're incurring is going to be 2.7, 2.8 trillion, not 367 billion. So they'll have to put that down when they raise the debt ceiling. It's important that Republicans make the CBO give us a true cost of this bill in terms of
bill. You said you're confident they will.
I am, and CBO is a nonpartisan group. They're the gold standard. I've had a hard time getting them to do what these other groups have done, but they've told me they will give me a product, give me an answer to my questions by a week from this Friday. And what did I ask them to do? Assume for a moment that the sunsets go away, that these programs won't be sunset, they'll stay around for 10 years. And once you make that assumption, you're going to blow a hole in the deficit and you're going to have 2.5 times more cost than they're telling the public. So the whole bill as written is a fraud. The gimmicks lower the cost and we're going to do away with the gimmicks. And that affects the debt ceiling. One thing affects the other. It's very important that not one Republican vote to raise the debt ceiling. It's very important the Democrats do it by themselves and they put down a number. And it's equally important that we tell the American people the truth about the cost to build back better.
You know, before Donald Trump, I used to always say that Americans always get the tax increase immediately, and this, whatever spending cuts are promised never come to fruition. You always get the amnesty, but you never get the border security that's supposed to come with it. So I think we have a lot of reasons to distrust Republicans. Where do you see the state of Build Back Better, New Green Deal, Marxism, really, is what it is? I mean, with you talk to your colleagues, you talk, I assume, to Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would assume you do.
I talked to him. I talked to him today. So Joe Manchin, to his credit, has been very reluctant to sign on to this bill because he thinks it's full of gimmicks. He has said the CBO is the gold standard. So I've been able to get a commitment from the Congressional Budget Office to score the bill without the gimmicks. And a week from this Friday, I'll be on your show.
Okay, so he knows what you're doing. You've discussed it with him.
And he appreciates it.
Okay, and does that mean that he's likely to say no?
I'm telling you, Sean, given what Joe Manchin has said, he's been so consistent that he doesn't want to play games with the budget. He doesn't want to start a program playing like it's going to end when it won't.
All right, what about Kristen Sinema?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her as much. She's been great on making sure we don't raise capital gains rates. She's been very good at making sure the Democrats don't repeal the entire 2017 tax cut that Trump put in place. She's been good on taxes, but Joe has been really worried about the deficit. He's been worried about creating more inflation. And the one thing I can tell you, that the cost of this bill is 2.5 times greater than they're saying it is, and the effect on the debt is 10 times greater.
All right, because it's 50-50 in the Senate, now I got to ask another question, which I would prefer never to have to ask. Do you see the likes of Lisa Murkowski or Mitt Romney or Ben Sasse or anybody else going with the Democrats on this?
No. And I don't say that lightly. I've talked to all of my colleagues. Every Republican believes that Build Back Better is inflationary. They believe it's full of budget gimmicks, and we will oppose it. Some of us worked with Democrats on an infrastructure bill that I thought made sense. This one makes no sense. This bill is full of gimmicks. It will blow a hole in the it will add trillions to the deficit, not $367 billion. And we're going to prove that a week from Friday. So not one Republican will vote for Build Back Better. Build Back Better is written as a lie. It's a fraud. And I'm hoping Senator Manchin, when he gets the gold standard report, will act accordingly, because the truth of the matter is that we're going to add to inflation at a time we need less inflation. We should quit borrowing all this money. We should pay for some things and lower the cost of living in America.
Quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. 800-941-SEAN, our number. More with Senator Lindsey Graham. Then your calls. Final half hour.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, this idea of, is that my baggage? I look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Your call's coming up at the bottom of this half hour. Let's talk about every single crisis we're now facing. We still have Americans abandoned behind enemy lines. It's now 110 days later,
yeah,
and 123 days since Biden made the promise not to abandon them, and thousands of green card holders, never mind our Afghan allies that are dying every day and getting pulled out of their homes and murdered in broad daylight, and women losing their rights in the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan. But all of this was preventable. That was easily preventable. The right. border disaster, easily preventable. We have more people dead from COVID, even though than last year, even though Joe had 3 vaccines and monoclonal antibodies, which he's only mentioned once and only fairly recently. Then we have, of course, the high cost of energy as he moved away from energy independence and keeps begging the likes of OPEC and Russia, right. of all people, to increase their production. What difference does it make to planet Earth where the oil it comes from? If it comes from Russia, the Middle East, the Saudi Arabia, or the U.S., we don't need any of their energy. We have enough of our own. Why wouldn't we be energy independent? That would do more to help the economy, reduce inflation, reduce the cost of every good that we now buy and service we now get from everybody. It's killing the poor and the middle class in this country.
Well, I mean, you gave a good overview of why we all miss Trump. You know, President Trump could be a handful. I think both of us have had an experience with President Trump where sometimes we disagree, but on the policy front, the guy was magic. So what accounts for all this? Joe Biden doesn't understand the way the world works. He doesn't understand that if you kill energy independence in America, you're empowering people with oil and gas that are bad guys. So we're shifting money from America to overseas to buy the product that will be burned. That's stupid. He doesn't understand what the generals were trying to tell him. If you withdraw all of our forces from Afghanistan to where you're talking about, the place will collapse. He learned not one damn thing from Iraq. He pushed for withdrawal from Iraq that led to ISIS. When it comes to the border, his policies are enticing people to come. We have a run on our border because nobody leaves once they get here. The bottom line is, if he had went on vacation, and President Trump said this last night, if Joe Biden had went to the beach and never came to Washington and left everything in place, he'd be a far better president than he is today. He doesn't know what he's doing. They have a worldview that's inconsistent with reality when it comes to energy, and they're about to give the biggest gift in the world to the Ayatollah, hundreds of billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, to negotiate a bad deal. Israel can't afford a bad deal when it comes to the Iranian nuclear program. I've never been more worried about a terrorist attack on the homeland than I am right now, because the combination of terrorists running wild in Afghanistan and a broken border is going to come back to haunt us.
I couldn't agree anymore, and I think we're one of only a few people that ever mention it. My Mike Pompeo, to his credit, does as well. By the way, so does former President Trump. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, appreciate you being with us. Thank you, sir. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. We'll get to your calls. We have a quick report from our friend Jay Christian Adams coming up. Quick break, right back. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. You know, I've been saying it, I'm going to say it again, that this country, we need election integrity in every state. Not just swing states, but every state. And it's simple. This is not complicated. That would be voter ID laws, like they have in Joe's state of Delaware. You need an ID to get in to see a congressman or woman or a senator or even Joe Biden himself or the Democratic National Convention. Hell, you need a vaccination card to eat at a restaurant in New York, for crying out loud. Thank goodness for Uber Eats. But long story short, that you need ID for everything. You want to buy a Juul pod or a six-pack of beer, you need ID. So simple integrity measures should be adopted by every state. And if we want elections that we can have confidence in, every state needs to adopt them. And why there's this reluctance and resistance that Democrats only tells me they're up to no good. For example, voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody controls when people mail in ballots. Also, it would include updated voter rolls every election to make sure that they're accurate. And then most states have laws that allow partisan observers to watch the vote count up close from start to finish. And they have to be there for the counting of every ballot to make sure no shenanigans go on. I would add to that Republicans, they've had this reluctance and resistance to early voting and reluctance and resistance to mail-in voting. You better get over it, because that's now, it doesn't seem like that's going to change anytime soon. And if we want to win elections, we've got to play on the same, you know, field as the Democrats are playing on. Anyway, Christian Adams is the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. I saw this article on FoxNews.com. He's going to give us a quick update, then we'll get to your calls. How Michigan still has more than 25,000 dead people on the voter rolls, according to their lawsuit. Okay, J. Christian Adams, you have this lawsuit. Apparently, the Secretary of State had ignored warnings about this. Have you confirmed for sure 25,000 dead people?
In fact, Sean, we've even found some of their gravestones, like Helen Gulvezan, who died in 2000. Over, you're not going to believe this, almost 4,000 of these registrants have been dead for two decades. They've been dead.
By the way, have any of them voted in recent elections?
There's always some who vote. Are they going to make the difference? Not often, but they still vote, and that's the problem. You just can't have 26,000 dead people on the active voter rolls for 20 years.
I mean, it's crazy. So you have, of the 23,663 people registered have been dead for 5 years or more, 17,479 registered voters have been dead at least 10 years, and nearly 4,000 have been dead for at least 20 years. Okay, and you're saying that you have found examples of people that are dead that, quote, have voted past their death. That's an amazing thing, by the way. I would call that miraculous.
Well, here's the worst part about it. Jocelyn Benson, the Michigan Secretary of State, a Soros-elected Secretary of State, knew about this. Before the election, our lawyers went to Lansing multiple times, gave the names, gave the data to the Secretary of State, and they didn't care at all. They allowed the 2020 election to happen with all of these tens of thousands of dead registrants on the rolls.
It's pretty unbelievable. Now, is this going to get solved? I guess your lawsuit will determine if the issue gets solved, right? And you filed this lawsuit.
Right. We've sued states around the country. Other states have settled with us, like Pennsylvania cleaned up their deads. Let's see what Michigan does. Are they going to be strident? Are they going to be defensive? Are they going to fix the problem? They have choices now, and we'll see what they do.
Anyway, keep us in the loop. I want to follow this story. It's on FoxNews.com if you want to read it. We appreciate your hard work. J. Christian Adams, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Unbelievable. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. This is why I keep saying, well, people say, well, what can I do? Contact your local senator, your governor, and your state legislature and tell them to adopt election integrity measures. You know, this is the irony of the DOJ going after Georgia, more accessible voting laws than Delaware, or going after Texas, more accessible voting laws than Delaware. Why doesn't he go after Delaware? They don't have any early in-person voting days, 17 days in Georgia. They don't have any drop boxes either, and they're in every precinct in Georgia. Joe has some of the most restrictive laws, and he's never lifted a finger to make voting more accessible in Delaware. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. Let's say hi to Glenn is in Missouri. Hey, Glenn, how are you? Glad you called.
Thank you for taking my call, Sean. I called today to say thank you for being a person who cares about people and reports truth, specifically as it pertains to monoclonal antibodies. I've had three people that are close to me in my life that came down with COVID. I knew about monoclonal antibodies because of what I've learned on your show, and it saved their lives. And I called to say thank you for reporting the truth.
Listen, it's sad to me because, and I will tell you, because people know that I talk about this, it's almost every day that somebody calls me. What's that thing you talk about on the radio and TV? And I understand, you know, everybody's got busy lives. Some of my friends, you know, mock me. I'll say, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Our lives don't revolve around your show, Hannity. Stop, you know, and I'm, all right, I get it. But the point is that people are hearing it, but then they forget monoclonal antibodies is not, you know, top of mind for most people. I even know a prominent politician that got a breakthrough case, and I asked, are you going to get the infusion? And they said, yeah, what is that again? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I try to say right. It. Now, look, I'm not telling people what to do. I'm not playing doctor, as you know, my whole spiel. But I am saying if you get a positive test, what I have found, without a single exception, the people that get monoclonal antibodies immediately after they get a positive COVID test, they not in every case between 48, no longer than 72 hours, they feel like new people. And to, my you know, but ask your doctor. That's my recommendation. I'm glad you're, you know,
mom,
what's up?
My pastor's mom is 75 years old. She already had pneumonia. She was several days into this. They got her to the hospital. They called and asked me, what's that thing that you're talking about? Regeneron, monoclonal antibodies. Ask them for it. You need it. It turned her around in 24 hours. She's at home today recovering because of this information.
Well, you know, thank God. It sounds like you just got her in time. I know people,
yeah.
Unvaccinated, 74, another person, 68 years old, they get a positive COVID test. In 48 hours, they're both feeling great. I know people that have had breakthrough cases. One of my best friends feels better. Had the best 10 days of his life, sends his family down to Florida, and every day he's catching 40-pound striped bass and sending me pictures saying, oh, wish you were here. I'm like, all right, you jackass. I'm glad I helped get you the monoclonal, the Regeneron in his case. But he did it in good fun. But I just don't, listen, I'm just trying to pass on information. And the one consistent treatment therapeutic that I know is working when taken early is our monoclonal antibodies. And because I think this whole vax and don't vax debate is over. So now what happens if you get a positive COVID test? By the way, I would urge everybody to, you know, it's the time of year people are going to get colds and whatnot, and you're going to start immediately panicking, thinking you might have COVID. The Abbott test has caught at least three people I know. You know, they take the home test and they would get it confirmed in a lab, but it's like 99% effective, and you can have it at your home if you're beginning to worry, you're not feeling well, you have a dry cough or you have a cold, and maybe it's just a cold or a cough or seasonal allergies or whatever. But at least you have the test at home, and you can get it at your local, you know, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, whatever. Anyway, I'm glad your friends are okay, Glenn. I really am, and I'm glad you listened so that they could ask their doctor. But if you get a positive test, call your doctor immediately. Ask about monoclonal antibodies, one brand name, Regeneron. And then, you know, for me, that's what I would do. That's all I'm going to say. I try not to talk about myself and all this. It's very important that you be as knowledgeable as possible. I've seen the worst of this. Linda, you know people that I know that died. You know people that I care about that died. You know people that I know that barely made it off a respirator. You know people I know that died on respirators. And I just got caught in the middle of this. And because I cover it, people come to me, and it's actually my pleasure. I'll spend as much time as needed. You know, just
yeah, I think
we've had What's that?
I think it's really sad for you, though, because unfortunately, you know, a lot of these people didn't have to end up in those situations. You know, they got misinformation. Now we know, like, respirators, ventilators, you know, going to the hospital. It's not the right way. It's like you need to deal with it. As soon as you find out, you need to start doing all of the different, you know, the cocktail effects that we've talked about so many times on the show. And if they had called you a little sooner, we know there's people's lives that, you know, you could have saved.
There are a couple that really crush me because I wasn't brought in early.
Exactly.
And by the time, it's very interesting. Usually when that COVID pneumonia or what do they call that? The
cytokine.
Yeah, the cytokine storm, as they call it, that goes inside your lungs. Once you, for example, you could be home and maybe not feeling great. And you're having a little trouble breathing, but your saturation rate is, you know, 96 and you're doing okay oxygen wise. It can go from 96 to 70 in no time. The problem is if it's day 7, 8, 9, 10, when that usually happens, by the time you get your ass to the hospital, the damage is done. There's not much they can do. Now, I know of instances where these therapeutics have reversed it, but your odds are much lower. Acting immediately increases your odds dramatically. That's what I have seen. I'm not a doctor. Talk to your doctor. I always say, do your research, take it seriously, take into account your unique medical history, current condition, talk to your doctor, doctors, medical professionals you trust. You know, I feel I might know as much at this point as they do, because I talk to them constantly. It's a never ending education here. Anyway, back to our phones. I'm glad this person's okay. All right. Let's say hi to, George in Florida. George, you're a genius and I'm an idiot. You live in Florida. You save a lot of money. I'm a dope because I live in New York. I'm an idiot.
Nah, you're not a dope. What's up, big time? Sean Hannity.
What's going on, George? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. Well, we're in Florida here. We got the best governor in the country. You're talking about the he set up 67 of the
monoclonal antibody centers.
Right. And that's why Florida has the lowest number of hospitalizations and infections right now.
Yeah, and then Joe started rationing them because it was successful, and there's no need to ration it because we don't have a shortage of it.
No, exactly. He's trying to cut Ron DeSantis's knees out from under him, and Governor DeSantis called a special session and passed and signed into law the state laws where local governments and private employers are prohibited from enforcing COVID-19 vaccine mandates. You can't do it now, but it's not. Some of the local governments are still playing politics with it. One in particular, Leon County in Tallahassee, County Administrator Vince Long is continuing to fire longtime employees who refuse the vaccination. So it's the ultimate game of politics. And local hospitals are firing healthcare workers who put their lives on the line during all
this. I have another buddy down in Florida, and he and his wife had a breakthrough case, fully vaccinated. They're in the Tampa area, and they went immediately, called me. He goes, "What, you really believe in Regeneron?" I said, "Absolutely. Get it now. Now." And he said, "All right, we're on our way." When Governor Abbott had a breakthrough case, I called him. I mean, I like Governor Abbott, and he's a friend, and I like him a lot. And I said, "Please tell me you're going to get the infusion." He goes, "Yeah, by the way, it starts in about 10 minutes. I'm in the hospital." So I felt good about that. He turned out fine. But others have not taken it. But Florida was, I think we should have these monoclonal antibody centers all around the country. It worked in Florida. And then when Joe started rationing it, because one size fits all, he doesn't want people to have a therapeutic. He wants people to get the shot. And, you know, if they don't listen to Joe, then we're going to take away your therapeutic. Then people will die. This is the one thing that shows that it's working when done early. And anyway, then Ron DeSantis said, "Screw you. I'll go out and buy my own." And he spent Florida tax dollars to buy more monoclonal antibodies to keep these centers open when needed. And now you have the lowest rate in the country. And I'm happy for you.
And we're happy. And we'd love to see him run for president. We'd hate to lose him as our governor. But, you know, he would do a much better job than cardboard cutout would do a better job than Uncle Joe right now. So another thing,
Joe could be successful if he just went back to the Trump policies that were working. Listen, I've got to run. Where in Florida are you?
Tallahassee. I'm in the Capitol.
Oh, okay. I've been there. I have a funny story that I'll repeat one day about me going through the checkpoint, going to visit then Governor Bush. Wasn't a good moment, but I'll tell you about it one day. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, that's going to wrap things for us today. Wrap it up. Anyway, we got a big show tonight, 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. Will senators cave and help the Democrats again? Marco Rubio, Lindsey Graham, we'll check in with both of them. Also, Sarah Sanders, Reince Priebus, Clay Travis, Larry Elder, Leo 2.0 Terrell. All happening. Set your DVR, 9 Eastern, Hannity on the Fox News channel. We'll see you then. Back here tomorrow. You make this show possible. We can never thank you enough. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.